We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Our distinct pleasure to welcome to our show Annie Jacobson, author of the book Phenomena. And we played you a song about telepathy, Annie, so that was for you. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great here in Portland, Oregon. Thank you. Kicking off the book tour.
You are up at the crack of dawn out there. My goodness.
Yes, it's a beautiful day, and it's still dark.
Nice. And I want to talk to you first, because I know you've written a lot of different books about a lot of different things. As a journalist and reporter, sometimes people tell you stuff, and you think to yourself, oh, come on, that can't be true. Did you have those kinds of moments before you put this book together? And what did your research show you that convinced you, yeah, it's true?
Well, I always have those moments because I write about war, weapons, U.S. national security, and secrets. And so I'm always touching upon these very secret, sacred, and taboo areas. So the book Phenomena was no different, except for it was a little bit, because you're dealing with themes that touch upon the supernatural. And that was one of the aspects that I found most fascinating, because it's an area that most people don't want to report on if you're a reporter, because it's so ridiculed. But I interviewed the scientists and the psychics themselves, and I also interviewed the skeptics, so that I'm able to kind of tell the story right down the middle. Here's what's been going on since the advent of the CIA, and then let the reader decide what they think is fact and what is fantasy.
You know, Annie, people have such varying opinions where we live about the CIA. A lot of people just even question their how they were founded, what they really do, and their funding stream. What about their role in what you researched?
Well, a lot of this research came from the original idea of the Nazis, which I think, makes sense. There's so much stigma attached to it, because anything that the Nazis were doing with the occult is ridiculed, with often good reason. But we, the Americans, and I found this out from the National Archive records, got half of the documents from the Nazis. They were called Das Annenerbe. That was Himmler's pseudo-science department, and he was researching ESP, map dowsing, astrology, psychokinesis. And then the Soviets got the other half of the cache of documents. And so it set off this psychic arms race. And the CIA's job is to stay ahead of the intelligence. And so, people look, when you look back at these documents, you realize the CIA had a real reason to pursue this, because the Soviets were. What they then went on to do is really pretty remarkable, because the first steps in this arena had to do with psychopharmacology, drug taking, to try and enhance this alleged, psychic functioning in some people.
We see this all the time, even in mainstream media. Take this pill, it's going to open up your brain, and some of it is these natural things that people do take to stave off this, that, and the other thing. In your research, where is the most validity to mind-altering substances? And you know that some people look at LSD as a bad thing, and then some people look at LSD as a good thing. So were they looking at that?
They were looking at hallucinogenic mushrooms specifically. Interestingly, and again, this is all in the documentation, Library of Congress, National Archives, there was an Aztec legend that down in Mexico, this mushroom existed that shamans could take that would give them divinatory power, so like the divine, seeing the future. And that's what the CIA was interested in. So they sent CIA scientists, this is in the 1950s, down to Mexico in search of this drug. And then that opened the door to many other research programs. But that was just the launch pad for all of this.
The scientists obviously are divided over things like this, I would imagine, quite stridently. Those who bought into this, Were they ostracized? Were they ridiculed? Did they have to keep it on the down low so that they would still maintain some kind of credibility with their fellow scientists?
Generally, scientists who work in this area are ridiculed by, let's call them, the mainstream scientists. But here's an interesting concept. So, and I write about this in the book. In the 1940s, there was an experimental psychologist from Harvard named Gertrude Schmeidler. And she came up with these two categories of people dealing with this subject matter, sheep and goats. So the goats are the scientific skeptics, the people who find anything in this arena utter nonsense. The sheep are those who are inclined or willing to consider the possibility of things like ESP, extrasensory perception, and psychokinesis, which is the ability to move matter with the mind. And here's an interesting statistic. So that sort of division goes back to the 40s. And yet, today, the most recent Gallup poll shows, so now we're talking regular people, culture, Americans, 73%, that is a great majority of Americans, say they believe they are sheep. They believe they have experienced something that would fall into this category of the paranormal, mm-hmm. the supernatural. And 23% are goats. They say this is utter garbage. And yet, in the scientific community, the real leading edge is the scientists who say this is garbage. And that comes back to the fact that the phenomena, if you will, is fickle. It does not follow the scientific method, and anyone who says it does, I think, is misleading you. The phenomena exist in the world of hypothesis. Experimentation cannot be repeated, and therefore you can't have a general theory. And scientists that oppose this have a very correct position in saying this is not scientific, it does not follow the scientific method.
Some of these individuals who maybe claim to have these kind of abilities, these powers, do you believe that some of them were trying to turn the tables and maybe pull the wool over the eyes of the government or not? Do you think, because it just seems like a dream come true that you could try to fool the government?
Well, it's a great question, and it's very important because this is a world peopled by charlatans and snake oil salesmen and fraudsters. But the government worked very hard, at least, you know, the CIA. I looked at the programs individually. So there's a vetting process that has to go on and that is relatively easy when you're talking about sticking a alleged psychic in a Faraday cage. A Faraday cage is like an electronically shielded room, and putting them to the test and saying, okay, show me what you can do with drawings, let's say, or what's in the box test they're called, where you put a cardboard box in front of them and say, tell me what's inside. And they can't use their hands, and they're electronically shielded, so they can't be getting information from the outside. And it was back in the 70s, so it's not like people had cell phones. So they weeded out the connivers, and what they were left with were individuals who were fiercely talented in these areas, number of whom I've interviewed, people that are now in their 60s and 70s. I don't think the government was, hoaxed by any of these people. I think really the issue is, and I try to delineate this in the book, is what happened, what was successful, what was an abysmal failure, and what does this really mean to this bigger question of, like, what is this alleged power? Because everybody knows somebody who has it, whether it's intuition, or premonition. As I said, that idea of the sheep, that's a big part of the population that believes or wants to believe that there's really something to this ideology.
Let's talk just a little bit about Uri Geller, because when I was a kid, I put the spoon on the TV when he said he could bend it if we put our minds together. So talk about him a little bit, because I did that, and I don't remember if it worked. I'm sure if it did work, I would have remembered. Maybe I wasn't able to do it, but what's his role in all this?
So Geller, is a real formidable character, and I thoroughly enjoyed interviewing him. I interviewed him at his home in Israel and also his home in England, and I was amazed by his incredible energy. I mean, he is a force to be reckoned with. He absolutely maintains the position that his powers are real. quoted with me saying that he has never ever said that he's a magician, and that any time anyone has ever said that, it's been a misquote, and demonstrated some remarkable things. But again, you know, let the reader decide. What I did write a lot about was Geller was absolutely a CIA asset, no question about it. The documents show it. This is in the 1970s. And it was interesting, fascinating to me, the way he was brought in was through an Apollo astronaut. I also interviewed Ed Mitchell, Apollo 14, before he died. And he was, you know, fascinated by all of this world of ESP and psychokinesis, and he really took a hit for it. He was ridiculed. And he and Geller were kind of foils for one another, meaning Mitchell wanted to believe. He wanted the powers, and he looked at Geller as someone who represented everything that was possible in that arena.
And where do you think we stand right now in 2017 in this kind of research? Do you believe through your discovery that it is still active and it is something that the government is pursuing to this day?
I was stunned to find that it actually is going on today. And there are public statements that support that, and also lots of interviews I did with current DOD assets. What is super interesting is that they use an entirely new nomenclature. There's new language around all of this, whereas in the 70s it was called remote viewing to try to destigmatize the idea of ESP. Today's programs, I'll give you one for example, at the Office of Naval Research, they call it anomalous cognition. So they're kind of being fancied up under the guise of technology. Another program is called Advanced Perceptual Competence. And these programs, these ESP programs, have been rebooted specifically after in Iraq some of the soldiers reportedly could predict where an IED was, and they would say to their fellow soldiers, you know, let's not go down this road. And the Office of Naval Research got very interested in this and are now looking at those soldiers, studying them, using advanced technology, brain scanning, to try and determine what might be in their physiology that gives them this so-called gift. And of course, in true DOD style, then working with neurobiologists, with information technologists, to try and enhance that feature in the soldier.
Yeah, I see you have to go, but it's been fascinating to have you on the show today. Annie Jacobson with the new book, Phenomena. Good luck with this one. It is really cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.